and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of August 11th. I am your tired co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and fresh from the beach, Melissa Hansen.
Yes. Not that that was, like, cooler or anything.
No.
Back in Dallas, went down to Galveston for a couple days, and it was barely cooler. But anyhow, and now I'm back in Dallas, where my air conditioner is set at 78.
Yes.
And it's 82 in the house.
Oh, God.
And the air conditioner's cranking. It just can't get it lower than 82.
What's the temperature outside?
It's 90s. I don't think we've hit 100 yet. But, yeah, it's hot out, and my air conditioner's old. So.
Okay. Well, we do the best we can. I've got the windows open, and it's like 84 degrees here today. So, yeah. Which is warm. We have survived a very mild summer here in New England.
Yeah.
After having a brutal winter. June was really hot, so the first show of the season we did, which was Arsenic and Old Lace, was brutal. The last two shows have been very pleasant, getting down into the 50s at night, so...
Nice.
Yes. Anywho-how, we've been off for a week. What have you been doing entertainment-wise?
I spent some time with the doctors.
Oh.
At least, what, five of them.
Wow.
A couple hours with five doctors.
Yeah.
What, the 11th, the 10th, the war, the, oh, what is he? What is he, fifth? What was he? What
fourth.
Was
he? Tom Baker was fourth? The fourth. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Capaldi.
That's right.
So the, what, 12th?
Yes.
But really 13th, so it wasn't supposed to be, but now it is.
Yeah.
Confusing. So yeah, I watched the two big kind of specials from this past winter. They're on Hulu. Available on Hulu now.
Nice.
So The Day of the Doctor, and then the Christmas special.
So The Day of the Doctor was the 50th anniversary special.
Yeah, it's huge. And the one where we got Smith and Tennant.
Yes.
Together. And it was, like, cute overload, man.
It really worked out very well.
Yeah, they really did a great job. It was touching. It was funny. It was smart. It was cute. It was everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I thoroughly enjoyed both episodes, actually. Yeah, kind of heartbreaking, too.
Yeah.
I mean, from real.
Yeah.
Serious, and especially for fans.
Yeah.
You know, some big issues. No, so, yeah, it was so nice to see Tennant again.
Yeah.
So nice, even though I think Matt is the most precise embodiment of the Doctor.
I cannot disagree with you.
I think the way he plays it, I love Tennant. I thought Eccleston did an amazing job bringing it back.
Yeah.
But I think Matt just encapsulates the whole thing so perfectly.
And I think that's why I love going back and watching the Patrick Troughton episodes from the late 60s, because Matt borrowed a lot of his Doctor from Patrick.
Ah.
And that's really where, and David did as well, that's really where we kind of get this modern day interpretation from. He's fun, he's crazy, he's adventurous, but he's got a bit of a dark side that you just can't tell. That don't piss him off, because you're gonna get into trouble.
Yeah, but yeah, so I really enjoyed the special. I think it was a good story, and it was just so much in there for fans.
Yeah. What did you think of John Hurt?
Oh, John Hurt.
I know.
Please.
Yeah.
I mean, what do I think of him? He's freaking amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was great. And then Time of the Doctor, which was kind of the Christmas special, and was Matt's last episode, again, had, like, everything in it. Oh, my God, all the old enemies all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Shit. And then, no, it was great. And the whole, and it set up, and I thought, they did it. Okay. The whole, like, he's only supposed to have, like, 12 regenerations.
Mm-hmm.
11 regenerations.
12.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
So 12 of him.
Yes.
Kind of thing. So, you know, it's the setup, and, well, they had to change that somehow.
Mm-hmm.
The way they did it was okay.
Yeah.
Eh, whatever. Because it's not a big deal. Like, we knew it had to be done. They had to bring some, change the, you know, the rules.
Yes.
Somehow. So it's great. But, yeah, Matt's last episode, and... You think he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think he's gone. He's already regenerated. Done. And then he's not. You get to see him for a couple minutes more, and they do this beautiful, touching moment. Just great payoff for the fans again.
Mm-hmm.
kind of thing, and you're just enjoying, like, oh, I thought he was gone, but, oh, we get a little bit more time with Matt, and then, boom, he's gone. Yeah. Oh, wait, what? Wait. No, one more minute.
Okay, so here's the theory.
Yes.
So, he spent more than 900 years on Trenzalore.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes him more than 2,000 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Capaldi's doctor comes in, and there is a... There's a premise that goes all the way back to the time of Tom Baker.
Yeah.
And they made mention of this in...
And I don't know tons about the old Doctor Who. I watched the Baker stuff, but I was a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of intricacies of the old stuff.
So there's an evil side to the Doctor called the Valyard. We kind of got a glimpse of that with the Toby Jones episode with Karen Gillan and Arthur Darvill when he put them to sleep.
Yeah.
There's this dark side to him that when the time arises, the dark side will take over and push the normal personality of the Doctor to the back. So there's a theory that Peter Capaldi is actually the Valyard.
Okay.
Which means that Matt's Doctor has not truly regenerated.
Okay.
So that if we get a season of Peter,
mm-hmm.
that Matt may come back. Now, that's fandom theory, but there is precedence in the franchise for that to happen. And this is supposed to be a very dark season of the Doctor.
Yes. We're getting into some dark stuff with Matt.
Yeah.
But, yeah. We're getting dark stuff with all of them, but it's been building.
Yeah.
We did some with Tennant. Oh, and that was the other thing with Day of the Doctor.
Mm.
Tennant's like, I don't want to go. Like,
yeah.
Oh, heartbreaking. So,
but the curator tag at the end was really what killed me.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, it was just great for fans.
Yeah.
So if you haven't caught them, like I said, they're on Hulu.
Yes. Along with a bunch of specials.
And classic episodes. Yep. And Hulu's got a whole bunch of Doctor stuff now.
Yeah, they've signed an exclusive agreement with BBC. The two series that they discovered in Nigeria from Patrick Troughton are available on Hulu. Both are very good, very different. One has to do with yetis, like robot yetis in the tube, the underground of London.
Okay.
And the other one has to do with, it's a political thing where a dictator who looks very much like the Doctor has taken over this planet and is up to Patrick Troughton to kind of set things right.
Got it.
So in the midst of all of my theater this summer, I snuck away two mornings and got caught up on two movies before they left the theater. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which I saw the first one, despite the fact that I'm not a big James Franco fan, as you all know.
Mm-hmm.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes, I really loved. I loved what they did with it. I was a huge fan of the original franchise with all of its camp and ridiculousness. This took a very serious look at it, but it was beautiful. And Andy Serkis is an amazing actor who I don't think gets enough credit for what he does.
No, we think of him as like he's just like maybe a stunt guy kind of thing.
Nope.
Like, no, he is such a great actor. And so many actors do so much with their eyes.
Yeah.
You know, I think really good actors. But he does with his body is insane.
To portray a character with so few words and to get the emotion across is not an easy thing to do. I've had to do that in Spamalot because Patsy does not have a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
So I give credit to guys like Andy who can create a fully fleshed out character with very little dialogue whatsoever. This was an incredible movie. It takes it to the next level. We wanted more action. We wanted, but it's layered. There's human character development. There's ape character development. You get a better feel for exactly what's going on in the world. And it wasn't just a Michael Bay, let's blow things up and see monkeys riding on horseback with shotguns.
Good. I love that. Does sound pretty excellent.
It did look pretty excellent, actually. And it sets up a beautiful opportunity for a third film. As long as that same creative team sticks together, I think it's going to pay off in a big way. The other movie I saw, I took my nieces and nephew to see Guardians of the Galaxy, the latest Marvel movie, which...
And?
I liked it. I don't think I was as blown away as most people. I've loved all of these Marvel movies, so it's not like a revelation to me that Marvel does good films.
Right.
A lot of people are comparing it to Indiana Jones and Star Wars in terms of, and maybe for people who are of that age when I saw those movies, mm-hmm. this is what that means to them. Right. This was a great film. Michael Rooker plays a bad guy. I mean, Michael Rooker in a Marvel film, Glenn Close in a Marvel film. Yeah. Chris Pratt has now cemented himself as an A-list actor, and we have always known from Parks and Rec that he's a very funny guy.
Yeah.
But he's taken Bruce Willis and Harrison Ford and combined them and created the next generation of that type of characters.
Nice. Oh, good. Okay.
Very well done. Yeah.
I mean, I've been excited, but a little cautious.
Yeah.
Not just excited.
My nieces weren't as thrilled because it's a space movie.
Yeah.
They like superheroes. They were expecting superheroes. My nephew went crazy for it. He loves it.
Cool.
Vin Diesel's character, who says three words the entire movie multiple times, is one of the favorite characters from the whole film. So,
yeah.
And it will continue to, and it has continued to do well at the box office, but it lost out to another set of CGI characters who I can't stand this week.
Seriously, people? Yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. 66 million! No, I'm not surprised it did well, and it's the end of summer, and kids are, you know, heading back to school soon and whatever. So I'm sure.
Seen Megan Fox.
That was a lot, but 66 million? All right. Yeah. And then Guardians of the Galaxy was 42.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's not doing shabby overall, but I'm slightly shocked at those numbers that they might be switched. Anyhow, so those were the big ones. And then Into the Storm.
Which was basically a CGI weather movie.
It's third with 18 million. Yeah. The 100-Foot Journey, which is Helen Mirren.
Yes.
She's like a snobby French chef, and then an Indian family opens a restaurant across the way, and they are just not her standard. So that was 11 million, and then Lucy at 9.5.
Okay.
And not the top five there.
All right.
Yeah, that fell pretty quick.
The real disappointment, I think, is the James Brown biopic Get On Up.
Which I've heard nothing but amazing things about.
Only made $5 million this week. It's only made $23 million in the 2 weeks it's been in the theaters. Now, it will find a home on streaming and on demand and DVD. But it's a bit disappointing given all the people that were involved in this picture.
Yeah.
Two pictures of note coming out this next week on Friday. The Giver, which I swear to God, if I see any more trailers for this movie, I'm going to spit.
Okay.
An adaptation of another popular teen novel.
Yeah, but this is a slightly more classic.
Is it?
It's not that old.
Okay.
But no, it's a great novel.
Yeah, my eldest niece read it. She said she loves it.
It's a great novel. And it's not some big series, you know, they're going to draw out trilogy.
Okay.
No, it's just an excellent young adult novel. But it is kind of a dystopian future.
Yeah.
Type thing, but it's definitely different than Hunger Games or Divergent. It definitely is a different feel.
Bridges, Meryl Streep.
Jeff Bridges looking so perfect for the role.
Good. Not so perfect, perhaps, The Expendables 3, which the reviews have been coming out and saying, even though the first two were fun, Stallone's really screwed the pooch on this one.
Are there any old action stars left?
He threw Wesley Snipes and Mel Gibson in this one. And Harrison Ford is in this as well.
Who else is left?
I don't know. I think maybe it's everybody. Yeah, it should be it.
Hopefully they're all done.
I don't think Steven Seagal's done one yet.
Yay. Don't remind them.
Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, Batman Assault on Arkham, which is the latest in the direct-to-DVD DC adventures. This one's based on the Arkham video games for PS3 and other platforms. It's animated. Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Arkham Origins, and the fourth
one. I actually heard of that. So it must be pretty big and popular.
It is. The movie is all right. It takes basically the character designs and world that was created in the games and comes up with somewhat of an original story. Very anime-based, very Japanese-influenced.
Okay.
It's decent. It's a B. I would give it a B.
All right.
Nothing that, you know, is going to redefine anything for you.
Didn't expect it to.
No. Not written by Paul Dini, who created those games for Warner Brothers.
Okay.
Who also created Tiny Toons and Batman the Animated Series. The Blacklist, Season 1, James Spader's hit television series from this last season. You can get caught up on that before it returns in the fall for Season 2. Disney has a Blu-ray onslaught this week. Hercules, Tarzan, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, Ichabod and Mr. Toad, Disney Nature's Bears, and then Muppets Most Wanted, which Amazon is refusing to pre-sell because of their hardball negotiations with the studios. And it's not just them. It's Warner Brothers. It's Universal. It's Paramount. They're being dicks.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, if you go in and it says it's not their sign-up and when it'll be available, it actually does street on Tuesday, but you just can't pre-sell it, so Amazon's pretending that it doesn't exist until it actually comes out. The other movie of note this week is Colin Firth and Nicole Kidman in Railway Man. So that will be showing up over at Redbox this week. We have Tom Hardy in Locke, which I guess he spends the entire movie in the car.
All right, then.
It's supposed to be interesting. Halle Berry in Frankie and Alice. Nick Cage in Rage. You've got the animated musical comedy Rio 2. And again, Muppets Most Wanted will be on Redbox this week as of Tuesday.
Hey.
Netflix. This is interesting. Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey, Season 1, which I have not seen. I think it's been available on Hulu, right?
You have to watch it, yes.
Yeah, all right. Well, it's on Netflix now, too.
Yeah. And I'm going to talk really quick about Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes.
Somebody saw him on a subway working on his computer.
Okay.
And supposedly they were kidding. He tweeted a picture of it and said something about some dumbass nerd.
Oh, no.
Supposedly he knew who it was and was being funny. I don't know. But it, like, totally made the rounds and people started yelling at him.
Oh,
and,
boy.
You know. What, you know how it goes crazy, like, threaten, you know, like, whatever, and call names, and he wrote a column or whatever about it, saying he knew and he was kidding or whatever, but it's kind of funny.
Okay.
It took me a second, I'm like, a friend of mine's like, do you get this? Because it was, like, what an idiot this guy was. And I'm like, I don't know, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute! That's why it's funny.
And you've watched the series, yes? You've watched the whole thing?
Yes.
Okay.
So
good. All right. Lars von Trier's Nymphomaniac, Volume 1 and 2 on Netflix this week.
Mel Ooh.
Gibson in the... Yeah. So you can watch Shia LaBeouf get naked. Screw people. Mel Gibson's 1979 cult classic Mad Max, available because the new movie is coming out. I think it's the fall, or is it next summer? I think it's this fall. The trailer for it looks phenomenal. Did you see the original?
I don't really care.
Okay. All right. Robert Downey Jr. in Chaplin, for which he was nominated for an Oscar, I believe.
Yeah.
And then, from the ridiculous to the sublime, Travolta and Nick Cage in Face Off, which is one of the stupid... I think we saw this in the theater. It's one of the stupidest movies.
So bad.
Dave Johnson loves it because they actually switch faces. They peel each other's faces off and switch faces.
So beyond ridiculous.
All right. Wait, there's more ridiculousness over on Hulu this week. John Schneider and Jimmy Walker in Super Shark. Jimmy Walker.
Wait, that's who... Now, usually I go and I add some stuff to Netflix, right? Yeah, Hulu, you said this?
This is Hulu.
Hulu, okay.
But it is Shark Week.
All right, you can keep talking while I add this to my
view. There's more John Schneider available. John Schneider in What Would Jesus Do? So you can't get more different from Super Shark than that. John Ratzenberger in What Would Jesus Do Too? Jimmy Walker. I wonder if he says dynamite in the middle of the movie.
Oh, he's got to. Okay.
Although I've heard he sues people for saying that. Like, he's trademarked it or something.
He wouldn't the writers be the ones that...
I don't know.
Just saying. Right. Okay.
I don't know. And then the cult classic, Chud. Cannibalistic Human Underground Dwellers, which came out when I was in high school. And,
Okay.
All right. That's all I've got for physical and streaming media this week.
Okay. It's Shark Week!
Yay!
On Discovery this week. And God, I know a lot of people that are very, very excited about this.
My brother included.
All right, then. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's Discovery all week.
Yep.
Tuesday, A&E adds to their working man's reality shows with Cementhead, about a cement company.
Really?
Work there. Yep. All right. Tuesday night, it is the season finale of the Will Wheaton Project on Sci-Fi. But there's a new show called Fourth and Loud.
Yeah.
It's about an L.A. arena football team.
Oh, yes.
It's owned by Kiss.
Yes.
So it's Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons and a bunch of arena football players and a bunch of, like, cheerleaders, I guess, in leather or barely anything. That's on AMC.
Well, his other reality series ended, so he has to keep it going with something, right?
Yeah. All right. So that, yeah, like, he doesn't have enough money. Anyhow. All right. Wednesday. So glad that's starting, because Wednesday night, Duck Dynasty season finale is on A&E.
Well, hey.
And then it's also the season finale of Wilfred on FXX. Now remember to add that extra X in there.
Oh, okay.
And Wahlburgers is back.
Which Dave Johnson skewered the first season when he wrote his review for us.
Oh, I did. And when I tweeted it,
yeah.
He used his, like, Jenny McCarthy.
Oh, boy.
Line. Oh, like, she is to watch. Anyhow. Thursday, man, we are the end of summer TV. So we've got the season finale of New York Med, Last Comic Standing, Gang Related, Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, and Leah Remini's reality show.
I'm so glad I don't watch TV anymore.
Yeah. So those are all ending, Thursday. Music this week. It's a little bit 80s flashback here. Rockabilly Riot. All original Brian Setzer.
Nice.
Yep. So it's, his stuff, and it's all original songs.
All right.
But all the rockabilly stuff. And then, I'm Not Bossy, I'm the Boss, Sinead O'Connor.
Oh.
Who looks like a fucking MILF.
Get totally out.
On this album cover.
Get out.
We're so used to being fat and bald and stuff.
Yes.
No. Like, hottie.
Wow.
Total hottie all of a sudden, again. Oh. I don't know. All right. And then, there's a box set by Suzanne Vega.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, she had released a few albums that were kind of thematic, and she redid stuff in her catalog. They've been released before, but now it's being released in a box set with, like, a DVD of a live performance and all kinds of booklets and information and stuff. So, close-up series, box set, Suzanne Vega. And then new Chris Allen has a new one called Horizons. Books. Love Letters, which is the Rose Harbor series, the stuff my mom would read. Debbie Maycomer.
No clue.
That is out. And then I'm killing myself. I can't believe I picked these names to give myself to say this week.
Oh.
Colorless, Chushu Kuru Tazaki and His Years of Pilgrimage. It's the latest by, Haruki, Murakami, who is a very famous Japanese writer. Like, he did Kafka on the Shore, is one of his most famous.
Don't know.
That is out too. And then a couple, nonfiction. Never Turn Your Back on an Angus Cow. My Life as a Country Vet.
Oh, jeez.
By Dr. Jan Pohl. He's Norwegian, but he lives in Minnesota.
Uh-huh. Close enough.
And I think it's a Nat Geo channel. Reality show on. And then My Drunk Kitchen, A Guide to Eating, Drinking, and Going with Your Gut by Hannah Hart, who is a huge YouTube star, which is actually a real thing. It's a real new form of celebrity.
Well, you want to know something? You know the big soundstage in Playa del Rey?
Yeah.
My old place? That has now become the YouTube studios.
Yeah. YouTube star is actually, like, an actual celebrity now.
Yeah. They've used that place to film Super 8, and now YouTube stars segmented it off and doing that.
Yeah. So. All right. theater news this week. Performances begin September 18th at the Linda Gross Theater. And it's the world premiere of Found. It stars Danny Pudi.
From Community.
Yeah. I mean, it's got some great Broadway stars in it, too. Of course. But I'm sure all of our listeners, that's the one they're going to be interested in. So that could be, very fun to see him on stage. Until we have to wait till what they're going to be on line. We can watch new episodes.
That's right. Yahoo TV.com.
All right. Well, until that, you can go see him live and in person off Broadway.
Okay. Entertainment news this week. Yes. Michael Crichton's Westworld, which was a movie that haunted my nightmares as a kid with the old runner as a robot that went bad, is getting an HBO reboot.
Okay.
Courtesy of Uber producer Jerry Weintraub, J.J. Abrams, and his Bad Robot production studio. The series is going to star Ed Harris as the villain, the Man in Black, alongside Anthony Hopkins, Evan Rachel Wood, Jeffrey Wright, and James Marsden.
Oh, wow. Well, not James Marsden.
Yeah, I know.
I said my oh, wow too late. I didn't know what was coming. Sorry. Yes. Just move it.
Yep.
Just in your mind, people right. move that.
Yep.
Not that I dislike him. I used to hate him, and he's grown on me a lot, but he's not an oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
There's no release date set as of yet, but it will be an hour-long drama, and I may have to get HBO on demand to watch that. Roberto Orci is still being considered for the director's chair of Paramount Star Trek III, and now his former writing producer partner, they've since split. These guys helped create so many things, including Sleepy Hollow, which I'm just getting caught up on now before season two starts. Alex is rebooting The Mummy for Universal. He's going to be directing. So these two writer-producers who have made some terrible, terrible decisions in recent years, like the Transformers movies. Hawaii Five-0 started out all right. I haven't watched it in a while. They've been behind a lot of stuff, but now each of them are going to give their hand to directing, and God help us all. Speaking of Universal, Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles, which have already seen more than a few several big screen adaptations, mostly pretty bad. Interview with the Vampire was decent, but other things were just awful. They've teamed with Ron Howard and Brian Grazer to bring Vampire Lestat and his family to television.
Ooh, wow.
So they're developing a series based on these characters now. Which could be very interesting. And now I think she's off onto werewolves or something, isn't she?
Yeah.
We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Warner Brothers has backed off playing chicken with Marvel Studios for their 2016 release of Batman vs. Superman, because it was supposed to open the same week as Marvel's Captain America 3. And they said, yeah, maybe not. So now it's coming out March 26th, which will beat Marvel to the punch by almost 2 months for that summer. And they've also scheduled 9 more untitled movies, DC Comics movies, through 2020. That, in addition to doing the Flash TV series, the Constantine TV series, the Gotham TV series. So we're going to be inundated with Marvel and DC characters from now until the end of time.
Yeah.
Streaming media reached another milestone this week as Netflix surpassed HBO's subscriber revenue totals. Just not too recently, they had reached a mega amount of subscribers, and now the money has come through. But the CEO for Netflix says the cable giant still kicks their ass in Emmy Awards and profit generation. Taylor Kitsch, Friday Night Lights, Gambit from the Wolverine movie, has been offered the lead role in the U.S. remake of The Raid Redemption. Which, I don't know if that movie did so well, why you need to remake it with U.S. folks, because the Indonesians did just fine on their own. He's also up for consideration in the second season of HBO's True Detective. And one last note for this week, our friends at TDC Entertainment are providing a special discount on the Drawing with Mark DVDs that Dawn reviewed for us. This is former Disney animator Mark Martirosian. So if you go to disinfo.com, and select two of the Drawing with Mark DVDs, enter the coupon code DRAWTHISSUMMER, all one word, and you'll get 66% off, which is less than $5 per disc.
Nice. And if you have an artistic kid,
yep,
you're going to want these.
Yeah. They're really good.
Yeah.
And that offer is valid through August 31st.
So, nice.
If you want to do a little Christmas shopping early this year, this might be a good time to do it.
All right.
That's all I got for this week.
Okay. Well, Bruce Jenner got pulled over Sunday nights.
Oh, no.
Because he decided, you know, like, rev his engine and just drive like a man with something to prove.
Drive like a woman with something to prove?
You can spread whatever rumors you want. I am not going there.
Sorry.
Send all your emails. Michael, let me say it.
All right.
So we got pulled over and just, like, told to knock it off.
All
right. Kind of thing, and they gave him a warning. But unfortunately for him, Brody was driving right behind him.
Oh, no.
And, well, stupidly, as he's driving, pulled out his cell phone, but recorded Bruce getting pulled
over. Oh, no.
And posted it, of course.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, nice son there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least he didn't get out of the car and try talking to the cops, because in L.A., you don't want to mess. Now, this may be Calabasas cops, but L.A. cops you do not want to mess with.
Don't.
I got pulled over for driving your car, and they challenged me on the registration.
So crazy.
Yeah.
There, make it tight. But yeah, talk about it's the other big news this week. Tony Stewart, talk about not getting out of your car.
Yeah.
NASCAR driver Tony Stewart.
Oh, God, yes. What a horrible story.
Ended up, and I mean, people are kind of falling into camps on this. That he kind of, you know, whatever, did it intentionally or.
Which I can't see anybody doing that. Can you?
I don't know. Oof. I don't know. It's bad. All the way around.
It was a rookie driver who got out, right?
Everybody's at fault. Yeah, Stewart hit him and spun him out.
Yeah.
And he got out to, like, yell at him. And it was yellow flag to slow down.
Yeah.
But I saw the footage.
I'm not going to.
Mm. Anyhow, yeah, that's so sad. Sports / entertainment news. Ugh.
All right. And on that happy note, do we have a contest for this week?
We do. It's called Jesse. I'm going to read you some because I cannot write as good as these people who write these synopses.
No.
Jessie's a troubled cop who copes with her unlucky past by drinking too much. When her brother gets involved with some mafia lowlifes and disappears, Jessie investigates and finds herself drawn into a world of crime, corruption, and violence. Okay, so great. Except this also stars Eric Roberts, William Forsythe, and Armand Asante. How can you not want to watch that?
When was the last time we saw Armand Asante was in the restaurant, the deli, in Santa Monica?
Oh, how can you not want to watch it? So anyhow, that is from Hawk Entertainment, and I believe we have three DVDs to get.
Okay, well, good. We are more than happy to send those to you. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in this week. Thank you for being patient and reading our reviews at DVDverdict.com. I know they've been slow to come, but my summer theater is coming to an end, and soon my schedule will be wide open. We can get Verdict back on track. So thank you for that. Thank you for listening to our podcast at DVDVerdictPresents.com, which have also been kind of dried up lately. But believe me, there are so many in the hopper, you're going to be sick of us by the time I get through posting all the backlog stuff. And then we will be making a move to WordPress with DailyVerdict.com within the next 2 months. So keep an eye out for that.
Alrighty.
Until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
That fought me and taught me that friends never say.
So when we finished recording, it had to have been, I don't know, just about an hour ago, we got word, news started breaking, that Robin Williams had died.
Yes.
From an appearance.
Yeah, not just that he died, but apparently killed himself.
Yeah. The police report out of Marin County, which is Northern California, said that they found him about 11 o'clock. Or the 911 call came in about 11 o'clock this morning, which would
Monday
have been,
morning.
Monday
yeah.
morning, yes, which would have been about 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, or Eastern Daylight Time, and it's just gone from there. Now, you had mentioned to me off-air that he had recently suffered some substance abuse problems.
Well, we know he did in the past.
Yeah.
Looks like he did more recently after a huge victory over substances, and that maybe, and you had brought up his mental illness, manic depression.
Oh yeah,
who knows all the details about?
Right. Well, and it's funny because one of his greatest idols was Jonathan Winters, who then they got to work with on Mork and Mindy. But Jonathan was in a very similar place throughout his life.
Mm-hmm.
He was a manic depressive as a kid and dealt with all of these substance abuse issues and.
Yeah. Well, and just because people make us laugh, that's their gift, to make us laugh.
Right.
Doesn't mean they're always having fun.
No.
And it's very interesting. When I heard this, I need to go look and see where I can find it. I really want to watch his movie, What Dreams May Come.
Oh, such a beautiful piece.
Which is all about death and
the afterlife.
Despair and...
Yeah.
And joy and love and,
yeah,
you know, both sides of that coin.
Right.
And he's absolutely brilliant in that. I mean, think of him so much as just funny. Stand-up stuff and Mork and Mindy and just being crazy and funny. But his serious roles, it's just the best. I mean, from Good Will Hunting, obviously, he was incredible in that. And like I said, What Dreams May Come.
Dead Poets Society.
Dead Poets Society, obviously. You know, he really... made a huge name for himself in the more dramatic after making such a huge name in the comedic.
Yeah, well, as you know, I mean, you're a licensed social worker. You've been working in the mental health field for a long time. There is a depth of emotion that when you're suffering something like this, you connect to that a lot of people never really understand. So to channel that when you're doing... This happens with a lot of creative people. And we know throughout history, a lot of artists have suffered some serious mental illness.
Yes. Yeah, it's one of the... Not saying you have to have issues like that to be creative, but quite often that creativity goes hand in hand with these sad issues.
Winston Churchill used to talk about his black dog that used to follow him around.
Mm-hmm.
We all have personal demons, and sometimes they wind up being stronger than we are.
Yeah, and we don't know what other people are going through.
No, we don't.
So, I mean, this is the same story we've heard in different versions, whether it's suicidal or accidental, you know.
Philip Seymour Hoffman just something. Happened earlier in the year.
But yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and you go back to, like, Belushi.
Yeah, right.
You know, these... Really, really funny people have
Chris
such...
Farley. Goodness.
Mm-hmm. So, anyhow, it's very shocking, and obviously, you know, just scrolling through social media, it's devastating to a lot of people. And I posted on Facebook, I don't know who put it, or captured it, or whatever. It's actually a shot from Aladdin, with Aladdin, like, hugging the genie, and the genie crying. And someone else had posted it, and without any picture's worth a thousand words kind of thing.
So if you aren't familiar with Robin Williams, I highly suggest you go and check
out. Okay, why would you even bother saying that if you aren't familiar with Robin Williams?
I'm sure there are people out there who are not, you know? It always happens when you...
I know, it just sounds impossible.
Yeah, yeah, for our generation especially.
And also, the other thing... Speaking of this, his show last year, he had The Crazy Ones with Sarah Michelle Gellar that did not get renewed.
Yeah.
Just had the one season of that, which I'm actually going to see if I can find it and watch it.
Well, I'm sure it'll come out on DVD.
Yeah. So, anyhow. So, yeah, we just wanted to add that we didn't want to ignore this for a whole...
No, it's a devastating loss, not only to the creative community, but just to his family and friends and everybody who appreciated what he brought to the world.
Yeah. It's a loss for all of us.
Right.
I'm on the job. You big nay, Bob. You ain't never had a friend. Never had a friend. You ain't never had a friend. Never had a friend. You ain't never had a friend. You never had a friend like me.